Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Novo Resources and Quentin Henny, the president and chairman of Novo. Novo is traded on the TSX under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. Now, Quentin, I have a number of questions that came in ever since our last interview on Novo. We will address as many of those as possible. But the first question that I think is the most timely one and most important right now for the company is Beaton's Creek. Can you please give us a status update on the mining operations that are happening there?
I sure can. Look, we put a news release out late last week announcing we had our last necessary prerequisite permit. That was to dispose of tailings from the Beaton's Creek ore once it goes through the mill into the existing tailings facility there at the Golden Eagle Mill. And that basically gives us the green light. We've been mining at Beaton's Creek now for about 3 or 4 weeks. They are stockpiling ore. That's, you know, being it's stockpiled both at Beaton's, but then it's also trucked down to the mill. So they've got a stockpile going, and we're trying to get the stockpile up to a level that'll provide a nice buffer, if you will, ahead of the mill, on an ongoing basis. So things are coming together very quickly. The mill is on, so we've got our stockpile growing. We've got our mill turned on. As a lot of people know how gold circuits work, you put the rock in, the crusher crushes it, then it gets ground up in the ball mill, and then that material then goes through the actual recovery circuit itself. That includes a gravity circuit that pulls a lot of the coarse gold out, but then it goes through the cyanide circuit, and the cyanide tanks have, you know, it's carbon and leach, so there's little particles of carbon in the leach tanks that sit there, and over the next few days, they will gradually charge up with gold. You know, they're the ones that scavenge the gold out of solution, and then we should be able to pour gold here probably within a week or so. So we're extremely excited about how things are going. I can't tell you how, you know, relieved I am to see everything come together on budget, et cetera. You know, the rain has been a challenge. There's been several big rain events. We had one right before Christmas, and then we had another one about, I think, 2.5 or 3 weeks ago. And they did kind of, you know, stall things for a bit. But we have a very good team that managed to work around these, and we are going full guns now. Now, if there's further rain events, you know, there might be a little hiccup or two here, but, hopefully, touch wood, we'll get past it. The wet season ends in, you know, roughly, you call it 6 or 8 weeks. So I think we're heading into the dry season, and, you know, once we get to that point, we should be past any threats from rain, but otherwise, things are going absolutely fantastic.
Hey, Quentin, I'm going to have you on the show again when you guys do get that first gold pour, and we'll get an even bigger update on the mining that's happening there. But quick follow-up question regarding the size of the stockpile that you guys want to build to have that buffer. How big are you hoping to build that stockpile to?
Yeah, we're targeting 100,000 tons. And to put it in perspective, the mill operates, or we're going to operate the conglomerates at a rate of around 4,000 tons a day. You know, so that's, you know, roughly 25 days, a little less than a month's worth. But that should give us a buffer. Like if, you know, the idea here is to make sure if you get a big rain event or something, you're not, shut down for a week or two. And I think we can easily achieve that. I don't see any problem.
Okay. Any other questions regarding the mining, please send that in to me and we will address those when I bring Quentin back on, hopefully next week for that first gold pour. Let's get into some of these questions. Now, they are all over the map here, Quentin, so I'm going to try to summarize them as best as possible. First one deals with some speculation about the hardness of the conglomerates at Purdy's Reward and Comet Well and the challenges with mining some of these harder rocks, especially some of the comments that have been made in press releases about a significant number of boulders, some of them quite large. Have you guys settled on a technique to isolate these boulders and be able to mine all of this material, the finer and the bigger boulders?
Yeah, so let's so just to make it absolutely clear to people, this is separate from Beaton's Creek. Okay, Beaton's Creek is the one that's currently going into production. And the oxide there is actually, most of it's free dig. So just to make certain people understand what the question's about, this question is actually about Karratha, which is the project over in the West Pilbara. And at Karratha, the conglomerates are indurated. They're basically well cemented. They're not free dig. Okay, so once we go into trial mining and trial processing, which requires crushing, we will have to break the rock down. That's not a huge challenge. I mean, it is hard rock. It definitely is not going to be free dig like Beaton's Creek, but we do envision drill and blast, you know, conventional drill and blast, especially at the smaller flitch levels that kind of isolate the gold-bearing conglomerates. You know, we don't want to dilute it too much. So we think we can get in there and sharpshoot the actual beds, say on a meter scale, and then, drill, blast, and mine it that way, which is, no problem. It's conventional mining, think gravel quarry. And then the material then goes through crushing and screening. The rock is harder, but conventional crushing will work. We've done a lot of test work. As people know, we've done a lot of bulk samples out of Karratha and put them through mechanical sorter as a laboratory scale test work. So we know the rock can be crushed. In fact, if anything, the hardness of the rock bodes in our favor because it's a bit harder, more, consolidated, we'll call it dense for lack of a better term. We have, it behaves such that it doesn't generate a super high amount of fines. And that's actually a good thing because we want to have, nice competent rock particles when we go to mechanical sorting and optimize recovery using the mechanical sorter. So it's actually probably going to work in our favor on that front. But no, I don't think there's any significant problem at all.
Okay, thank you for addressing that, Quentin. Now, another question regarding, I guess, some sort of gold processing. I was asked to ask you about a non-cyanide gold process that is being developed by EnviroLeach and their Group 11 partnership. Have you looked into this new process? Have you thought about trying to incorporate it into any of your projects here at Novo?
I actually looked into CSIRO's thiosulfate leach and so forth. This is a while back, and we did some test work actually, and it does work effectively. I think it's got a great promise to it, but it's not quite ready for prime time, if you know what I mean. So here's the challenge. This may sound crazy to most folks, but these new leaches, even though they're meant to be environmentally friendly and so forth, the regulators don't know quite how to handle these things because you have to have a lot of chemical test work and stuff, whether it's benign or perceived benign or not. You got to have test work because, there's consequences that can come from the leach process, like acidification and stuff that, might not be predictable. Okay, so the regulators, when I went to them and I said, could we do thiosulfate leach like CSIRO has? They actually they gave us a long list of tick boxes to to basically go through, and it was like, wow, this would take an extraordinary amount of work and probably a lot longer time to get accomplished than it's worth at this time. So I guess my comment was, we decided not to be the guinea pig. And we've gone down this route. I mean, that was one of the options we were looking at, but we've gone down this route of conventional milling. And, for us, I think this is well suited. The mill's, tried and true. It's been operated for many years. And we know that our rock goes through it fairly easily. So I like, to see new technologies. It's just not quite ready for prime time.
Okay, thank you for addressing that. I hope that clears that up, but you have looked at it, and quite frankly, you're going with a more tried and true technique. Now, another question that comes from the Egina area. Last year, there were some announcements of an extensive sampling program at Egina, consisting of MAC samples and bulk samples. The program, the last update of the program was in July. When can we see some results, or has the program been delayed for some reason?
The work was done, and the various fractions, concentrates, and so forth have all been collected, and they are in queue at the laboratory. Now, here's what's happened. We started undertaking a pretty robust grade control program at Beaton's Creek in around October. And this is as those samples were actually coming out of the field from Agena. And as people know, the laboratory situations around the world are just kind of horrendous at the moment. But what we did is we carved out a certain percentage of min analytics capacity with this Chrysos photon assay machine. Okay, so we basically said, okay, we need X amount of capacity. Well, the Beaton's Creek samples, the grade control samples, are basically priority number one for us, okay, right now. And the Beaton's Creek samples have taken up all of our allotted capacity. So unfortunately, you know, we just don't have the samples run from most of Agena yet. We're hoping that once we get into production here shortly, we're hoping to be caught up on the Beaton's Creek stuff and then be able to process all of those cons and tailings and whatnot from the work at Agena. It's, you know, it was part of the, you know, a matter of going into production, the choice to go into production as a priority that really set that behind. It's not to say that it's not still a priority for us by any stretch. It's just right now, priority number one is making gold bars.
Absolutely. And that is, I think, one of the most exciting things about the company this year is that you will be producing gold in the very near term. Let's also talk about some of the tenements that the company has still been adding near the coast by Port Hedland. Couple questions on this. The first one being, do you run any ground-penetrating radar over the land before acquiring these rights?
We don't beforehand. In fact, you're not really allowed to go out and do field work until you have rights to the tenement. But, you know, we do see the big picture there. So we're acquiring ground as it comes open. It kind of cycles through, and we see opportunity by all stretch. We do have at least some sense of depth of bedrock and things like this out there. So it's not like we're just, you know, pulling a rabbit or like just a total unknown. Okay, we know that the bedrock is out there from the regional geophysic data sets we have and so forth. So we're just being strategic and picking up land.
Now, how about any aerial surveys that you have done on these tenements after you've acquired them?
Look, fortunately, most of Australia, Western Australia in particular, has already been flown ad nauseum, you know, for various geophysical techniques. We have the databases for a lot of different geophysical sets across most of our tenement holdings. We don't fly so much ourselves. In fact, we haven't really needed to. Because the existing data is sufficient, and we do use it.
So in terms of the strategy of continuing to acquire, do you see the company one day exploring here, or do you see the company one day maybe JVing these projects out?
No interest in JVing. We're exploring. We've got an excellent exploration team, and we don't need any help.
Okay, perfect. That's good to hear. Now, let's also talk about the possibility that there are Hemi-type deposits on this Novo-owned tenements. First, can you explain what a Hemi deposit is and what the possibility is of one being present on any of your tenements?
Okay, so the Hemi discovery is a gold discovery made by De Grey. It was about, I think, around 18 months ago or so. And it was found in a covered area. This is an area where there's a veneer of gravels, you know, kind of like the stuff at Edgen, really, that covers a broad area. So it was a blind discovery. They had to drill rab holes, you know, short rab holes through the cover, and they started to intercept anomalous gold. Then they came back later. They drilled RC and then also subsequently cored holes, and they made a very large discovery on the shear zone that this De Grey shear that goes through their project. And what it appears is that the deposits that they recently discovered, Hemi included, and there's other names, I can't really think of all the names they have, but they're associated with these intrusives that they're somewhat unique. They're called sinucatoids, okay? Sinucatoid, okay? So people are going to run to Google and Google this, I'm sure. But anyway, these sinucatoid intrusions are basically high magnesium granites. Okay, so what the heck does that mean? Okay, it means basically it's a granite that's derived probably through interaction of mantle melting, so you know something deep in the ground with the lower crust. So you end up getting a lot of magnesium into the rock, as well as you know crustal elements like potassium, and you produce these really interesting kind of hybrid magmas. And you know, in all respect, they are alkaline magmas. Okay, so anybody that knows alkaline, like I've helped Lion One, for example. Okay, these alkaline magmas can carry a fair bit of gold. All right, so the thesis is this, that these Chinookitoid intrusions have come up. They're kind of like little mushrooms. They come up in fields, almost like kimberlites or something. Like there'll be, you know, a few dozen of them scattered around a discrete area on Earth's crust. And, you know, they've certainly found these gold deposits around these Chinookitoids over at Hemi. But we have been working very, you know, quietly in the background around our tenure at Egina. And, you know, if anybody does a little bit deep dive into this region and the geology, you'll see that the Chinookitoid belt extends straight onto our ground. So, yes, we do have Chinookitoids. It is part of, in fact, it's becoming an important part of our priority list for exploration soon to start. And, yes, we anticipate drill testing some basement targets in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. One other question regarding drilling. We're getting near the end here, Quentin, is do you still plan on drilling the east well ground by Comet Wells?
Yeah, so a little background. That was a load occurrence that we found, I think it was late 2018. The east well system is basically a shear zone hosted gold system that is in the basement rock underlying the conglomerates. And in fact, it might well be a source of gold in the conglomerates. That's certainly possible. And yes, we do have plans to drill test that in conjunction with work at Comet Well. Okay, so that is definitely on our to-do list, one of many. But the really nice thing about East Well, the gold tends to be coarse. And we almost see it as another opportunity to potentially mechanically sort, you know, like we're doing with the conglomerates. It might be something that we advance through the same effective process.
Okay. Now, one other question that I've actually gotten a couple of, so I hope you can address this, but will Novo be willing to sell large nuggets to shareholders for a premium?
Okay, so that question actually comes up quite a bit, and I'm happy to answer it. Look, you know, I always hate to see, you know, big specimens of gold get destroyed. You know, Mother Nature worked hard to produce these things, so it's a shame to see them get melted down into bars. Look, there will be two places that I think we'll see coarse gold like that come out, you know, as a product. When we do mechanical sorting at Karratha, I anticipate the mechanical sorters being able to see some coarse nuggets in that material we sort. I'd like to kind of scavenge those out. Perhaps we have opportunity to sell, you know, we'll call it in situ nuggets in rock matrix to folks. That might be one option. The other one, of course, is Egina. Egina, we've seen some very big nuggets, you know, up to like 3 ounces in places come out of those gravels. And I think that might be another opportunity. But it is something we've discussed internally. And I think once we get to that stage, we will do our best to make that possibility an option to shareholders or to people. You know, the things we have to consider, though, taxes and other, you know, restrictions like getting the gold out of Australia and, you know, things like this. We'll have to figure out the mechanics of that, but we'll do our best.
Okay. Final question then regarding cash in the bank for the company and if you have had to draw down the second tranche of the funds from the Sprott lending agreement.
Yeah, no, we haven't had to draw down the second tranche. We have, I believe right now, just over $30 million in the bank still. And I think we'll be able to pull this off, barring, you know, some catastrophe. I think we'll be fine. We have seen money come in from the sale of the Blue Spec mining lease to Calidus. We got a $5 million payment for that about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And they've indicated to us they'll make the final $10 million payment in late March. So we're in pretty good shape.
Okay. Quentin, I really appreciate you addressing all of these questions. And again, please, everybody, keep sending me your questions and I will get Quentin to address those. And I will be following up on the back of the first gold pour, which sounds like it's coming in the quite near term. Quentin, thank you very much for your time. Oh, I should note, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. Full disclosure there. Quentin, thank you very much for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey.